Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, you remember last week I confessed that I have a bad habit of being a fair weather fan, so I'm working on it. Right? I'm trying to stay true. I'm trying to keep the faith. And matter of fact, today I was preaching a message. Today's message is simply entitled, Keep Following Jesus. Right? Even when things seem hard, even when things don't make sense, even when things don't seem like they're working, just keep following Jesus. So if you're a Hogs fan, maybe you can take some of these principles and help your heart with that as well. If you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 6. And we'll be looking down around verse 60 through 66 in just a few moments. Let me take a survey real quick today. How many people in the room, young or old, teenager or adult, how many single folks I got in the room? Several, all right? Now, this is like one of those redundant questions, but we are all like, how many at one point were single? Yeah, all right. I knew I could get participation out of you before the day was over. When you're single, or if you were single, or if you can refer back to those memories of when, before you got married, it seems like there's two conversations that almost every person has had at some point in their life, and it usually happens when you're dating. And they're not really conversations you like to have. They're kind of dreaded. The first dreaded conversation maybe you remember having is the friendship speech. Does anybody remember the friendship speech? Remember that? I'm not asking you to admit which side of it you were on. I mean, you can participate. But, right, the friendship speech went something like this. Someone would say to the other one, I like you and I love you. I just don't love you like that. Right? Sound familiar? Have you said these words or heard these words? And at some point, the conversation keeps going and the speech goes something like this. So I think we should just be friends. Yeah, you have heard that speech. And then the second speech that happens when you're dating goes something like this. It's a conversation where you have to define the relationship. Right? Someone says, then exactly what are we doing here? Are we like dating? Are we exclusive? Is this a long-term thing or a short-term thing? Are we like thinking about marriage someday? Are we just hanging out till something better comes along? Right? You've had some, probably, hopefully you had that conversation with a little bit better articulation and verbiage than what I just used, but we've all been there, right? And that conversation, you don't ever outgrow it. You don't, when you get married, yeah, you don't have to have that conversation with your spouse anymore, but when it comes to if you work in the work world in businesses, relationships have to be defined. Who's the boss? Who's the team leader? Who's leading this project and ministry? We have to have the conversation about who's going to lead this and who's going to lead that. We're always defining the relationships in our lives. And one thing we're going to discover this morning is that Jesus was never afraid to define the relationships between him and his followers. Matter of fact, over and over again, quite often, we're going to see multiple times in Scripture this morning where Jesus is asking people to define their relationship with him. And so to do that, we're going to look at John chapter 6. We discussed last week that Jesus was always looking for followers, right? He was never looking for fans. Fans are just simply people that simply admire someone. They have good regard towards someone, but they don't necessarily, they don't have commitment towards that person or towards that team or towards the organization. But a follower, they're not just following out of admiration. They are following out of commitment. And we're going to continue that thought. And Jesus is teaching some good news, some good principles, some good teaching. But the response wasn't that great. In verse number 60, upon hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that the disciples were grumbling about this, in other words, they're grumbling about what Jesus just said to them, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to the Father unless he's enabled them. And from this time, many disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. That's a key scripture this morning. From this time on, many disciples stopped following Jesus. And Jesus said, you do not want to leave too, do you? He asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? And yet one of you is the devil. And by this he meant Judas, the son of Simon. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray the next few minutes of time that you would speak to our hearts, that you would change our lives, and that each of us would become greater followers of you. And I pray that in this time, this morning, each of us would resolve in our hearts that we would never for being a fan. We would never settle for knowing about you, but we would always strive to know you and to follow you, no matter where you lead, no matter what that looks like. We commit ourselves to following you. So Lord, anoint me today to speak the words of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our mind to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And all the people in the room said, amen. Amen. Have you ever noticed, I believe it was in verse number 60, where the Bible says, when the disciples heard this, that many of them stopped following Jesus and they walked away. Have you ever thought about the fact that the people who were physically laying their eyes on Jesus are the ones that stopped following him? Think about it. The people that actually saw Jesus raise someone from the dead. The people that actually saw Jesus open blind eyes. The people that actually saw someone brought in on a mat who was completely lame and Jesus touched them. And the one who 3 minutes ago couldn't even walk is now running around. The same people that saw Jesus take a little bit of fish and a few loaves of bread a few verses earlier and feed thousands of people, it is those people who are now walking away and not following Jesus. You know, have you ever thought it was that type of evidence they were walking away from? And I don't know, sometimes I've heard people say, you know, if I could just see Jesus do a miracle, if I could just hear his voice out loud, if I could just see him move in that way or this way, then I would become a follower of Jesus. But this scripture reminds us that no matter how much we see, how much we know, how much we understand or we don't understand, there's no substitute for your simple decision to follow Christ, despite what you see or you don't see. Amen? Jesus even said in a conversation when he was speaking about the rich man and Lazarus, the Word of God makes this statement that even if someone was to come back from the dead, people would still not believe. And evidently, Jesus was being prophetic when he made that statement, because Jesus has risen from the dead, and yet there are those who never start following Jesus. And there are those, despite what they've heard and what they've seen, stop following Jesus. Some of them don't walk away from Jesus completely. Some of them simply move from the crowd of believers, the crowd of followers, to a crowd of fans. They move from passionately pursuing Jesus for their life to walking away in a fence and just being part of the crowd that once walked away. A number of people who saw what many of us would love to see walked away from Jesus. And in that moment, they proved that they were more like fans of Jesus instead of followers of Jesus. And we know that because they didn't keep following. This morning, I just want to talk real quickly. I want to encourage you, no matter what you see or you don't see, keep following Jesus. Whether what you hear from God's word sets you on fire with excitement or kind of drives a hurtful truth home, keep following Jesus. And I want to give you three ways to keep following him this morning. The first way to keep following him is to accept the truth even when it's hard. Or you could say it a different way. You could say, determine that you're going to play by the rules or you're going to accept the rules. In John chapter 60, the disciples said this phrase, Jesus, this is a hard teaching. And because what they heard was hard, they eventually walked away. They didn't understand the word of God. Or you could say they didn't understand the rules that Jesus was putting out. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. So they thought, since we can't understand it, since it's too hard, we're just going to walk away from it. But I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to understand everything perfectly about Jesus to follow him perfectly. Do you know that? You don't have to know all the answers to participate in God's plan for your life. Some of you know I enjoy playing golf. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy to play. And, you know, it should be an easy thing because there's only 34 rules to golf. That's all, 34. But did you know if you go buy a rule book for the game of golf, that rule book is over 200 pages long? 200 pages describing 34 rules. Let me just tell you, as a guy that's been playing for about 15 years, I still don't know all the rules. And I'm not even trying to understand. I don't have time to read 200 pages. I guess I'm just not that curious. But I know this, I can still go. I can still enjoy it. And the more I play, the more I learn. It's the same way with following Christ. The more you serve him, the more you follow him, the more you're going to learn about him. And as you learn more and more, you can't just decide, well, I'm just going to know the part of Jesus that I like. You've got to accept everything that he describes about himself and everything he says he requires and desires for our life. But there's this concept that many people hold on to, that in order to follow Jesus, I must understand and know everything perfectly. But that's just not accurate. And, you know, in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Abraham, who's known as the father of faith, and told Abraham, hey, I want you to leave your country, leave your homes, your brothers, your sisters, leave your families, leave all you know and all that's familiar, and come and follow me to a place that I will show you. Talk about a lack of details. I mean, he didn't have a clue which direction. Do I leave going north, south, east? He didn't hardly know any details at all. But he started following the commands of God. And as he followed God, he discovered that God used his trust in him. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus simply said to the disciples, hey, come and follow me and I'll make you into fishers of men. He didn't tell them how he's going to make them. He didn't tell them what the process would be. He just said, come and follow me, and in the process, I will make you fishers of men. Have any of you ever followed a GPS while you're driving your car? Have any of you ever wanted to throw the GPS out the window while you're... Okay, good. I'm in good company. Several years ago, we were on a youth retreat, and Aaron back there, he was on this trip with us. We were in the middle of nowhere on this winter retreat up around Branson. I mean, you had to go down this dirt road like 10 miles and then turn left and go another few miles. And then we were in the middle of the woods. And it was on New Year's Eve when this kid, I can't remember if the kid got hurt or the kid got sick, but whatever reason, the person was injured or sick or whatever, it demanded a trip to the hospital. And so we throw this kid in the van, not literally throw him, but we put him in the van, and we have a nurse that's with us, and so she and I hop in the van, and we click in hospital to the GPS. I mean, it took us a GPS to get to this place, and now it's taking a GPS to get us out, and it's New Year's Eve, it's late in the night, and we don't know where we're going, but the thing tells us to go, and it tells us immediately to go a different direction than what we came in, and after miles and miles of dirt road, this dirt road I'm on, it goes from a dirt road to a creek bed. I am driving in the middle of the night trying to get a kid to the hospital, driving down a creek bed. And I think if I can ever get out of this creek, I'll turn around and go the other way. And about the time I was going to turn around, we come out on this U.S. highway just about a mile from the hospital. And I thought, I'm so glad I kept following, even though it didn't make sense. Some of you in this room, you're on the verge of moving from following Jesus to just becoming a fan. Because there's things that happen that have been hard, the requirements God's put in your life, the things that he's revealing to you and the challenges he's making to you just seem too difficult. And you're saying, Pastor, I'm just not sure I can follow in this manner or in this way. But I want to tell you, if you will keep following Jesus, in the process of following him, he transforms us. Amen. So keep following him this morning, despite what you don't understand or the answers you don't have or how hard it may seem. And Jesus is preaching. Let me just tell you the message that Jesus is preaching. I mean, what is it that these guys are saying is so hard to understand? Here's what he says. If you want to back up to verse number 35, here's what he says. Jesus declared, right, here's what people are stumbling over. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Doesn't that sound like good news? Right? He goes on to say, for it's my Father's will that everyone who looks in the Son will have eternal life, and on the last day, I will raise him up. That's good news too, isn't it? This is the same exact scripture that Jesus shared with a lady one day. The same exact information, I should say, that Jesus shared with a lady one day when she was sitting by a well in Samaria. Remember that? And Jesus went up to her and said, hey, would you get me something to drink? And she said, hey, why are you, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan? We don't intermingle. Why would you take time to even talk to me? And Jesus said, oh, if you knew who I was, instead of me asking you for a drink, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you water that you would never thirst again. And this invitation to discover the grace and the mercy of Jesus, the lady by the well, she took him up on it and left the well and went back to town and said, come meet a man who told me everything I'd ever done. But instead of rejoicing over this information, this group of people received the same words of Jesus. Instead of celebrating what Jesus is supplying, they stumble over the claims that Jesus was making. Because he was claiming that I am the bread of life. I am the Son of God. And they were in opposition to there. They were offended to it. And their offense blinded them to the good news. And here's where you and I got to be careful. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, sometimes the truth, which is always good news to the followers of Jesus, the truth may not always seem like good news. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. The truth often makes you mad before it sets you free. So it may not always seem like good news. But if you'll embrace it, it's always good news. So don't allow the offense that comes perhaps to your life from the good news to keep you from embracing the good news that God has for you. Here's the second thing I want to tell you this morning. If you want to keep following Jesus, secondly this morning, stay in the game or follow even when you don't understand. The Bible says in verse number 66, from this point on, when this offense came, when things got hard, and bottom line is when things got to where they couldn't understand, they stopped following Jesus. And this is not like people stopped attending Jesus' meeting over the next 3 weeks. This is like people stood up and left immediately. And Jesus is sharing this inside of a church or inside of a temple. It would be just like if 80% of you stood up right now and walked out the door. Please don't do that. Because I'm not as secure as Jesus is. Right? It didn't hurt his feelings, but it might hurt mine. But that's, and yet, Jesus didn't chase those who were walking away. He challenged those who stayed. And Jesus wants to know, are you going to leave? Am I going to leave? Are you going to follow Jesus even when you don't understand? Isn't that what's called faith? Sometimes we dress faith up in all these different clothes, but isn't faith fundamentally following Jesus, even though you don't understand what, when, or how, or why? You're going to follow him? I'm going to date myself for just a minute, but that's okay, because I'm going to date some of you too. How do you remember the movie The Karate Kid? Now, y'all are a bunch of old suckers in this room. Now, I'm talking about Karate Kid with Daniel LaRusso, not the kid with braids, right? That one. Remember that? And Daniel goes to Mr. Miyagi, and he wants to learn karate. And Eddie, you're shaking your head, so you know what I'm talking about. And you remember how Mr. Miyagi taught Daniel's son how to learn karate? How did he teach him? Did you hear that? Wax on? Anyone else remember how he taught him? Paint the fence, right? Up, down. What else? Sand the floor, right? Whoo! After service, come to me and I'll waste 10 minutes of your time quoting lines from that movie. It's a spiritual gift that God's given me that I don't understand why. A movie I saw 20 years ago, I can quote verbatim. Walk left side of the road, fine. Walk right side of the road, anyway. walk down middle of the road, eventually, just like great. That's in the movie. But Daniel, not the one in the Bible, right? LaRusso in the Karate Kid. He's painting the fence and he's getting ticked off about it. He's waxing cars and he doesn't like it. He's sanding the floor and he's not really thrilled about it at all. And eventually he discovers that what he didn't like, what he didn't understand, was actually transforming him and adding skills to him he didn't have before. Now that's a very carnal example of what God sometimes does through us, through the school of the Spirit. When we go through things that we don't understand, and we think that God has forsaken us or God has forgotten us, we sang that song this morning. Perhaps you thought it was one time too many, but I want to tell you, sometimes life can make you feel like you've been forsaken. But if you will keep following Jesus in the moments that he seems like he's forsaken you, he will show up and he will prove to you that he is faithful and he is designing you and preparing you to be more than you could ever be by yourself. Amen? So keep following Jesus. Have you ever followed Jesus through a season you don't understand? I'll just tell you, this is one of my big concerns for the Church of Jesus Christ at large. And that is, I'm afraid we're losing the art. Please hear me this morning. We're losing the art of following Jesus through things we don't understand. And we're not coming to the light, to the reality, that if we will follow him through what we don't understand, he will bring understanding to us we cannot obtain any other way. Amen? It's only as you stand tall and you stand for God and you say, King, if you want to turn up the flame 100 times, we're still not going to bow. We're still not going to follow. And you walk into the fire, and instead of being burned up, you discover there's a fourth man in the fire. Friends, if you want to find the fourth man in your life, you got to learn to keep serving God, keep following him even through the fires of life. Amen? Amen? But we spend too much time praying that God will put the fire out, when he might be wanting to show up in your fire. That's why Isaiah said that scripture I was reading to you this morning. You can walk through the fire and not be burned. But to do that, here's my third point this morning. Megan, if you want to come. If you're going to keep following Jesus, you've got to know why you're following him. You got to know why you're following Jesus. In this scripture, many. I want to say that again. Many disciples. Think about that. Not many strangers. Not many curious people. The Bible clearly says many disciples stopped following Jesus. And Jesus simply replied, do you want to leave too? Why did many leave and why did a few stay? Well, if you want to go back and read chapter 6, you can actually learn why some of them were following in the first place. I think it's around verse number 24, Jesus makes this statement. He says, some of you are here because you ate the fish and you t- tasted the bread. Some of you are here because you just, man, that was incredible food. And did you see how God made something out of nothing? That was great. And you liked what you saw, and so you followed me. That's what Jesus said. Then around verse number 30, there were some that were saying, Lord, if you just do one more sign for us, one more miracle, God, we'll serve you. And Jesus said, some of you are following me because you just want to see something cool. Some of you serving me just because you want to be part of a crowd, part of something that's growing, something that's going to fit your desire. If possible, Judas was just following because he wanted one more thing from Jesus. He thought, I can manipulate my way one more time, so I'm going to keep following him. But many walked away. And Jesus simply asked, he said, what about you? Are you going to keep following? Let me ask you, why are you here today? Why are you in the house of God this morning? Is it because our chairs are comfortable? Is it because our commitment to taking care of your kids is real and we are really about that, whether you're students or kids? Is it about being with people you love? Don't get me wrong. I hope you love people in the room. And I hope we're taking good care of your kids because we really try hard. And I'm even this much concerned that your seat's comfortable. So there's nothing wrong with those things. But our why has to be bigger than that. And Jesus said, what about you? And Peter responded this way. I'm going to quote it to you from the New International Version. In the New International Version, Jesus, or Peter, said these words, Lord, where else could we go? Some of you can say it with me. You can if you want to. You alone have the words of life.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.